بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. ونبي سفيان صخر بن حرب رضي الله تعالى قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تلحفوا في المسألة، فوالله لا يسألني أحد منكم شيئا فتخرج له مسألته مني شيئا وأنا له كاره، فيبارك له فيما أعطيته. رواه مسلم. ونبي عبد الرحمن عوف بن مالك الأشجعي رضي الله تعالى قال: كنا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 9 أو 8 أو 7، فقال: ألا تبايعون رسول الله؟ وكنا حديثي عهد ببيعة، فقلنا: قد بايعناك يا رسول الله. ثم قال: ألا تبايعون رسول الله؟ فبسطنا أيدينا وقلنا: قد بايعناك يا رسول الله، فعلى ما نبايعك؟ قال: على أن تعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا، وصلوات الخمس، وتطيعوا، وأسر كلمة خفية، ولا تسأل الناس شيئا، فلقد رأيت بعض أولئك النفر يسقط صوت أحدهم فما يسأل أحدا يناوله إياه. رواه مسلم. To continue the hadith which we began the discussion yesterday, Abu Sufyan Sakhr ibn Harb radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not persist in asking. I take an oath upon Allah that none of you will ask me anything persistently, thereby his asking causes me to give him something whilst I dislike doing so. And then there would be barakah and blessings in that which I have given him." The point which we alluded to towards the end of yesterday's discussion was the importance of giving charity with a good heart, giving charity with a happy heart. Because if you look at the converse meaning of this hadith, what is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us? That if you compel me to give you something and I'm not happy at heart in giving it to you, then automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the barakah and the blessing of whatever was given. So there won't be any barakah and blessings in that. There won't be any real reward in it. There won't be any khair and barakat in it. So for there to be barakah, blessings in what we give, this is a very, very important etiquette. Don't look down upon the beggar. Don't have nafrat or dislike in one's heart for that person. These are all the avenues by which whatever khairat and charity you are doing is going to, the door to its barakah, its acceptance is going to close if there isn't the happiness of the heart. It has to be the happiness of the heart. In fact, we find our akabirin, aslaf, they used to give in such a manner that they would tell that person that I am indebted to you. I am indebted to you because in fact whatever I am giving you, you are now my porter and you are going to return it to me in Jannah. So you are the one who is carrying my burden for me right till akhirat. So in fact, I am not doing you a favor, you are doing me a favor. And I am indebted to you. So this mindset, because there are multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of benefit in sadaqah and in khairat. Currently we are in a situation where we fear falling ill. Whoever you turn to, people are worried. I don't want to become sick. I can see what's happening to others. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Dawu maradakum bi sadaqah. He said, treat your sick with sadaqah. In other words, better than any medical ilaj you're going to take is sadaqah. So this is such an effective tool, not only of the propagation of Islam, of the akhlaq of Islam, etc. And there are multitudes of benefits. So very, very important, my respected brothers, when we give, give with a good heart. Give with a happy heart. And even more important than that, don't look down upon the person that you are giving. Don't have any negative thoughts or emotions towards that person. Don't formulate your opinions. He's a con job. He's like this. He's like that. Look at how he's carrying on. How he can be. Allahu Akbar. This is the effort that shaitan makes upon us to destroy the neki and the good that we are doing. With regards to asking, we find in this hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not become persistent. That is, the person that is in need, first of all, we are reading it in every rakat of every salah. This verse of the Quran, we read in every rakat of every salah. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab." There is no salah without Surah Fatiha. Salah is not made. So in every rakat of every salah, and this is why this muzakara we should keep making, ponder over Surah Fatiha. What were we saying? Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'bud, Ya Allah, only you we worship. Ya Allah, only you we worship. And secondly, every rakat of every salah we are saying this to Allah. Iyaka nasta'in. Ya Allah, when I am in a problem, when I am in a difficulty, when I face a trial, when I face a challenge, when there is some hardship, when there is some test, when there is some tribulation, I will ask only you for help. Iyaka nasta'in. So begging technically breaks down this principle, because we are supposed to only ask Allah, not ask from insan, not stretch our hands out. But like we mentioned previously, sometimes circumstances conspire against the person and he feels compelled. Or he's challenging circumstance. He feels he needs to stretch his hand out. In that instance, Allama Ghazali rahimahullah mentions that asking will only be permissible when three conditions are met. The first of these conditions, which Allama Ghazali rahimahullah mentions, he says that the one who is asking has to maintain his self-dignity and respect. To put it crudely, don't prostitute yourself. Don't humiliate yourself. If you are in a problem, you're asking somebody, you need something, do it in a manner where you keep your self-respect. Do it in a manner where you maintain your dignity. Don't patronize the person. These are very, very important principles of the akhlaq and conduct of a Muslim. The second condition which Allama Ghazali rahimahullah mentions is, do not become persistent, as we find in this hadith, لَا تُلْحِفُوا فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Rasulullah said, don't keep, you asked, you had a problem, you needed help from somebody, you asked him one time, that's it. Don't keep asking. Don't put him in a situation where you compel him now to assist you because of your relationship, because there will not be barakah in that. If he helps you, let him help you with a good heart. So it's important that we do not persist when we ask somebody. And the third, do not inconvenience the one who is asked. Don't put him in a situation, as we mentioned previously, don't put him in a situation where you are compelling him and he puts himself in a problem because of your relationship with him. The next hadith, the narrator is a sahabi, Abdurrahman Auf bin Malik Ash-Sha'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Regards to some background of the sahabi, this was a sahabi who carried the standard that is the flag of his tribe in Khaybar and also in Fateh Makkah. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as the leader of his tribe, Abu Abdurrahman Auf bin Malik Ash-Sha'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He resided in Syria, where he passed away. 67 ahadith are narrated from the sahabi. He's an Ansari sahabi, and he says that kunna inda Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on one occasion we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were 9 or 8 or 7 in number. I can't remember exactly. This is what the sahabi is saying. We were either 7 or 8 or 9 of us sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of a sudden Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will you not take bay'at? Bay'at, literally we translated, plead an oath of allegiance. This was a sunnah in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that would accept Islam, thereafter they would take bay'at. They would place their hand in the hand, that is to the men. They would place their hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and would pledge an oath on certain aspects. Normally, the basic fundamentals of deen. They would plead allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will adhere to these things. This concept of bayat itself is something that requires a great deal of detail. We're not going to go into that now because it's not pertinent to the subject matter that we are discussing. But many, many ahadith prior to this, we would have heard of this reference of it where sahaba took bayat and oath upon the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very famous bay'at is what we call bay'atul ridwan, which is we find mentioned in the Quran also. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, we are happy with the believers, that is the sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they took an oath underneath the tree, referring to the incident which occurred at the time of Hudaybiyah. Nevertheless, coming back to the subject matter of this hadith, all of a sudden Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, "Ala tubayyuna Rasulullah." Will you not take an oath of allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Abu Abdurrahman Auf bin Malik Ash-Shari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu makes a significant observation. What is the observation? He says, this surprised us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made such a request. Why? Kunna hadithi ahdin bi bay'ah. Just recently, not long ago, we had already taken bay'at from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was he referring to? He was referring to bay'atul Aqaba. Bay'atul Aqaba is the bay'at which the Ansar, 72 of them, 70 men, 2 women, Umm Mani, Umm Amara radiallahu anhun, took in Mina in Aqaba, which formed the foundation of Hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. So referring to that, he said, we had just taken bay'at to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now all of a sudden Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking us, will you not take bay'at? So he says, فَقُلْنَا قَدْ بَيَانَا كَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Ya Rasulullah, we already took bay'at. We already pleaded an oath of allegiance to you, referring to that bay'at. One very important lesson we learn from this. We learn about the majlis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, nowadays, mashallah, if a sheikh, senior alim, etc. comes, when we sit in his company, you'll find everyone, mashallah, got a lot of tawazu and humility, look right down. In fact, they don't look up at all. And they feel it is khilaf of the shan of that personality that you should even speak. These type of practices, we can't find them in seerah. In the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there wasn't this level of takalluf that sahaba was so afraid to speak. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged them to speak their minds and their hearts. When they sat with happiness, they sat with ease. There wasn't this tightness. Now we observe sometimes our kabirin from India, Pakistan come, our shuyukh of tabligh, etc. We'll find some of our satis, they go into a shell when they sit in, almost as if they elevate that person to some level that they should not be. He's insan also. Yes, you keep the respect, but that does not mean that you cannot be free in that majlis or in that gathering, or you should be over conscious about yourself. This is what we call, ulama refer to, they say this is takallufat ajam. This type of takalluf comes not from the Arabs, from the non-Arabs. If you look amongst the Arabs, this type of takalluf is not there. If you look in seerah, this type of takalluf is not there. Sahabi speaks his mind. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take ala tubayyuna Rasulullah. What it should have been? This is the Rasul of Allah. This is the greatest human being that was ever created. After Allah, this is the final word. Where is it even conceivable that they would have the guts to say that, Ya Rasulullah, we just took bayat, why are you asking us to take bayat? But this is the type of informality which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged in his majlis. He didn't want sahaba to behave where they could not speak their hearts and their minds. So this is a very important lesson that we learn of the etiquette of the majalis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, قَدْ بَيَانَكَ يَا رَسُولَ. We just took bayat. Why is it that you are asking us to take bayat? So in case we run out of time, we'll continue inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah.